Let's look in Acts chapter 16, a very familiar scripture in verse 16. Acts 16 and verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Now, you got to remember one thing. Paul and Silas was Romans. So they didn't exactly know what they were up against right here. Verse 22. "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." I'll let you be seated this morning. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again, Lord, and that for the wonderful Lord's Day that you've given us an act to come and worship you. I pray men and women, boys and girls' hearts are focused and that upon you this morning. God, I pray that the singing has blessed your name. Thank you for touching us and making a difference in our life, Lord. It wouldn't be different without you, and I thank you for that this morning. Well, Lord, while we preach for a little while, I pray you'd touch us and anoint us afresh from heaven. We certainly need something from you this morning, something that we can't work up, something that we can't get up on our own. But, Lord, we just need a touch from you. These folks sitting out here this morning need something, Lord. And I ask that if there's somebody lost, that they'd get saved before it's too late. I pray that you'd help the one that just might be struggling this morning, Lord, that they'd get something out of the Word of God that'd make a difference in their life today. Again, we thank you for Calvary. Lord, help us to be mindful every day and that what you've done for us. And not only mindful, but to tell others what you've done for them. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach as a dying man to dying people. And, Lord, for they need the Word of God, and I do too. Help us now and save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. I think most of us, if you know your Bible at all, been in Sunday school, been in preaching, you understand what's taking place right here. Paul and Silas have cast out the spirit of divination, and that out of this young lady, the Bible calls her damsel. She is a young woman, and she is making her masters in that great gain, and that with soothsaying. And there was one thing about it, that devil knew who Paul and Silas was. Did you catch that right there? They followed Paul and us. In verse 17 it said, "And these men are the servants of the Most High God." Hey, let me tell you something today. The devils know who Jesus is, and the devils know who God's people are this morning. Amen. Listen, what was it at one time in the book of Acts? Those men are going to go over there and they're going to cast out that devil out of that man. Said, we adjure thee by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth, to come out. And that devil answered them and he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are they? And so I want to say today that the devil even might know who you are if you're saved and serving God. Amen. Say amen right there, church. Help me now. And by the way, I'm going to hear out of one ear, so you're going to have to be a little louder than normal this morning. Amen. So if I tell you to amen right there and I don't hear you and I say something, don't think nothing of it. But I want you to look right here that, listen, that made them mad. And boy, I'm telling you, so they end up beating on them. They end up casting them into prison and charge that jailer over there to keep them and to keep them safely. So he throws them all the way down in the inner prison, all the way on the inside, down in the dungeon. And he's got stocks on him, and he shut the door. And the Bible said right here that after that earthquake had happened, that he awoke out of his sleep. So after he does all these things, he goes on and goes to sleep. But listen, what's Paul and Silas doing at this time? The Bible said that they're sitting over there, and they're singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard him. Hey, can I tell you that God can give you a song in the midnight, even when everything is against you and everybody is against you? God can give you a song. Amen. Ain't you glad of that today? Hey, Job said over there, talking about the Maker, who is God, our Maker. Where is God our Maker? Who giveth songs in the night. Hey, I'm glad the Bible said in the book of Psalms chapter 17 and verse 3, he talks about the Lord over there, and he said, who visited to me in the night time. And boy, I'm glad that when it gets night and it gets dark, and the Bible said that weeping may endure for the night. Hey, I'm glad that when it gets that way, that God can give you a song in your heart that you can sing, and that about Him. Amen. So here sits Paul and Silas. And they're in stocks, they're in prison, and they're sitting over here singing. I wonder how many of us would have been singing. We'd have probably been singing. But we wouldn't have been singing what they was singing. We'd have probably been singing that old hee-haw song, woe is me, you know. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And listen, we'd have probably been singing that. But here sits Paul and Silas. I don't know what they were singing, but boy, they were singing something that God liked. I don't know if they were singing in the deep dark of the midnight, boy, that he'll come by. I don't know if they were singing there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I don't know if they were singing farther along, but I know one thing, God liked what he heard. And friend, all of a sudden at midnight, and you need to study about midnight sometimes, what God will do. And listen, at midnight, God rode back and shook the foundations of that prison and opened the doors and knocked the stocks off of his people and everybody that's there. And so something happened right here. Well, I'm telling you, there was something that took place. And not only did God do a miracle and that to set his men free, but God done something here because here comes that jailer. Now, I want you to catch this for just a second. Bible said in verse 26, and suddenly, there wasn't no little shaking, but there was great shaking. Suddenly, all of a sudden, wasn't no forewarning, wasn't no little earthquake come first. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. I remember what Brother Bob McCurry said one time. He said he got to enjoying, God got to enjoying so much what Paul and Silas were singing over there that God said, I believe I'll just hit that bass note. And he hit that bass note and rattled the prison. Amen. I don't know if that's what happened or not, but I know that God got a hold of them over here. And said there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now what's right here? And immediately all, the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loose. Everybody's. Just not Paul and Silas's. Everybody's. And so here stands the doors standing wide open. The stocks are off. And the Bible said in verse 27 that keeper of the prison, he woke up. And he seen what had took place. And the Bible said right here that he had what? Supposing that the prisoners had been fleeing, he draws out his sword and would have killed himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we were all here. Boy, you're talking about grace. This man experienced such great grace. I mean, listen, what kept those prisoners from fleeing? The doors are open. Huh? The stocks have fell off. I understand why Paul and Silas stayed, but I don't understand why everybody else stayed. I don't understand why not everybody else ran off. But for whatever reason, in God's infinite mercy and wisdom, they stayed there. And you know what happened? This jailer, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, maybe last week. I talked about it for a minute or two. This jailer almost slipped off into hell, didn't he? What do you mean? Well, he drew his sword out and was going to kill himself. But because of grace that found him, Paul hollered out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Boy, I'm telling you, I bet that old jailer's heart, boy, picked up, just perked up a little bit. And in his mind, I bet he wondered, did I just hear what I think I heard? Did I just hear one of them boys in there say, "Do thyself no harm, for we are"? You got to understand, that was a dark place that they were in. And the Bible said that he got a light, he sprang in there. And boy, he didn't look around. He didn't see if everybody was there. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And here's what he said after he brought them out. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want you to watch this. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Boy, salvation is a simple thing, ain't it? If you believe that what Jesus done at Calvary, and they buried him and he rose again the third and appointed day, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, where Paul said that I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. If you believe that and ask him to save you, you can get saved. And that's what this jailer done. And I believe all his house got saved. I want to preach this morning having a thought on the difference that a day will make. Now I want you to look at this jailer for just a minute. It's midnight and this jailer comes home. I bet his wife and his kids wondered why daddy was coming home. I get a little excited about this because when he come home, this is a different man,
yes,
that left just a few hours ago.
Amen.
Hey, this is a different man. He's come home and he's dragging two prisoners in tow with him. I bet they'd never seen that before. And boy, not only has he dragged these two prisoners in tow with him, but he has got them out and sent mama in there to get a wash rag and to go get a basin of water. And he's got them set down and he's washing their stripes. I bet they'd never seen that before in all their life. What a difference a day will make. Well, I'm telling you, when God began to deal with this old boy, he done something about it, didn't he? Boy, he come in there, and I know I preached on this last week, but in Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I call you upon him while he's near. I listen," and that's what he done. And something happened on the inside of him. And so when he come home, and I can imagine as his family and his wife and his kids and maybe his in-laws or his mom and dad or whoever's in his home, they look at him. And I mean, he's out there washing their stripes and he's letting these men preach to us and tell us about what Christ Jesus had done. He'd have never done that before today. I'm telling you, there's a difference that'll day make. Boy, when salvation comes into a man or a woman or a boy or girl, it'll make a difference in them. Boy, the difference that one day can make and that in salvation. Bible said 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So I can imagine as he come home and it's been dark. And nighttime, and I mean, he's come in and he's got mama up out of the bed and he's fed these men. Notice what it said. After he took them and washed their stripes and said he brought them unto this house and set meat before them. Listen, this is something this man has probably never done in his life, to feed prisoners. Listen, if you go back up and look in verse 33, it's different. He let him take him out there and baptize him in the river somewhere. This old jailer that cast him down on the inside of that inner prison. You ever wonder how mean that man was? He might have been a kind man. I don't know. I really don't know. I got to get in my mind that he probably wasn't a kind man. I get in my mind that he's dealt with these prisoners day in and day out. And I no doubt he's probably a hard man and a stern man. And listen, he ain't going to put up with much. But listen, when God gets a hold of a stern man and a hard man's heart, he can break it to pieces. That's what changed your heart, wasn't it? Didn't the Holy Spirit come by one day or one night and begin to knock upon your heart? You say, my heart wasn't hard. Listen, if you needed to get saved, it was far from God, and God come to where you were. You say, I got saved early, preacher. There wasn't a great change, and I understand that. I understand that, and I struggled with that for years. I really did, that there wasn't a great change in my life. As we think about it, you hear preachers preach and talk about, boy, I mean, there'll be a change that takes place. And listen, when you take an old sinner and drag him up out of the ditch out here that's a drunkard or a harlot or somebody that's a liar and a cheat, listen, it looks like the world, smells like the world, it's been in the world all their life, and hey, they meet Christ Jesus the Lord, hey, there'll be a change in them that you can recognize. But you let these youngins come and get saved, and these teenagers come and get saved, and what God will do is he'll make a change in them that keeps them out of this world. Amen. So they don't have to be like the world. See, I when I got saved at 14, I was headed down the wrong path. I look back and I see that, starting to run with some wrong people. And I believe even the Lord done something. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate this. They was some fellers that lived next to me. And their mom and daddy took them to church. And there was one that was my age. And we run together some. But boy, he just wasn't the best influence. And when I was my end of my freshman year of high school, the Lord moved them away. You know, sometimes God moves some things around to keep you away from trouble. You say, that's what happened. I don't know if that's what happened or not. But I can tell you this right here. The day that this old boy got saved, listen, the difference a day of salvation made for him and his house. I believe he brought them preachers in there and said, not only do I want you to preach to me. And Paul and Silas said, look, if you'll get saved, it'll make a difference in your house. Do you know, I believe this, the statistics, and you can believe this or not, I believe the statistics are 93%. If you get daddy saved and get daddy in church, there's a 93% chance that you'll get the rest of the family. I forget what it is for mom and the kids, but it ain't near that much. If you just get mama, and I don't say just get mama, because of mama, churches have kept going, but because of mama, and we seen that a couple weeks ago, but because of mama, listen, there's been a lot of things that have kept going, houses have stayed together, and all those things. But if you can get daddy, well, you can just about get the whole house. And I want you to look right here, the difference that a day made of salvation. Boy, he come home. And I believe this fellow that probably barely smiled and barely rejoiced, he let them old prisoners that had been beat almost to death take him out there and baptize him. And the Bible said not only did he baptize him and all his, after we got saved, Daddy let him take us all out there and baptize us. And said, brought us home and set us all down at the dinner table. And said right here, said he sat down and told Mama to go cook and get some meat before him. And then I want you to look what the Bible said in verse 34 after they ate. And this is a wonderful thing. They rejoiced. I'd say that house had probably seen a lot of joy like what they seen that morning. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes in your heart, it changes everything. I mean, it makes joy when there is no joy. I mean, it'll bring rejoicing where there is none. He'll fill a void. My friend, where there's a void in there that you've tried and tried everything else and nothing else will do it, I accept him today. So here sits this jailer. The day of salvation made a difference in his life. Have you had that day of salvation? He rejoiced. He rejoiced in his day of salvation. I believe he rejoiced also not only in his salvation, but all his house got saved. He said, believing in God with all his house. Well, I tell you, Mom and Daddy, that ought to make you shout when your children get saved. To know that your wife or your husband's saved. Boy, to know that that whole... Hey, listen, I believe Noah, he didn't get the rest of the world. I owned the boat over there. But he got Mr. Noah and he got Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives on that boat. When nobody else in the world would get on, they got on. I'm thankful that there is a difference that'll day make. I thought about Legion, Mark chapter 5. I thought about Legion when he met Jesus. Boy, you're talking about a change. There was a change. Can you imagine when he went home, Jesus said, go home and tell him what great things I've done for thee. Can you imagine when he got home and began to tell what great things Jesus had done for him? I'm glad I know about my day of salvation. How about you? There was a change made. I'm talking about the difference that a day will make. The day of salvation makes a great difference. Have you had that? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. Look in verse 1. Job 1 and verse 1. And the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now, did you see verse 1? What did the Bible say about Job? What did God say about Job? And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Go over to verse 13. What's your Bible say? And there was a day. What am I preaching on? I'm preaching on the difference that a day will make. The day of salvation makes a great difference in your life and in your home. It'll make a great difference on your work job and around the people that you're with. But with Job, something else happened right here. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabins fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped along to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job's lost all his possessions, hadn't he? Job has lost his finances. Job has lost most of the folk that were working for him. Verse 18. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. How many of us has ever got that phone call? The difference that a day will make. That went your day go from real good to real bad. How many of us has ever got that news? When we were smiling 1 minute, and the next minute, we've sat down and holding our head and we're crying. I want you to think about Job for just a second. This is a man that loves God. This is a man that understood about what it meant to serve God. This is a man that loved God so much that friend, I believe God blessed him and made him the greatest man of all the East. The Bible said there in verse 3. And if you read everything that took place between that time, you'll find out that Satan brought all that on. God allowed it to happen, pulled the hedges back, and allowed it to happen, but Satan brought all that on. But there was a day. Can you imagine as Job sat there or stood there, and here comes one servant running up and said, "You've lost this." And before he could finish telling the story, another one runs up and begins to tell him, "You've lost this." And before he could finish, another runs up and says, "You've lost this." And while he's still speaking, another runs up. Boy, I'm telling you, he's bringing heartbreaking news. And said, "There's been a whirlwind come up out of the wilderness and killed all 10 of you children." Can you imagine that? I can't. I know what it's like to get bad news. I know what it's like to pick up the phone and on the other end, you hear people crying. And on the other end, folk are asking you what to do. And I'm one of them fellers that, I'll be honest with you, and I've told y'all this before and y'all know how I am, I'm one of them fellers that, yeah, you ever met them folk just had the right words for the right time? I'm not one of them fellers. Seems like I'll stumble around and stammer and stutter and carry on and try to get something from God and hope that it helps you, but I'm just not one of them fellers. And I've held on to that telephone and just tell people that I'd pray for them and that God would help them. I've went, I've said at people's houses and homes, and y'all have too, it just ain't me, when bad times have come. Difference a day will make. But I want you to look in verse 20. Job's lost just about everything at this point. The Bible said, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." How many of us would do that? How many of us would find ourselves in the house of God come Sunday morning after everything that happened to Job? How many of us would find ourselves in that in a place of humility? Job shaved his head, rent his clothes, fell down upon the ground, began to worship God. And here's what Job said: "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could he say that? I'm talking about a difference a day will make. Boy, it's great when we got saved. It's great when Jesus came and resided in our life and took our sins away. And boy, I mean, made a difference in us. But can I tell you, once you get saved, there ain't no guarantee that life's always going to be a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, Job said in Job 14, "Man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job chapter 5 is, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." But he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed. Job has lost just about everything. You say, "I see that he's lost it all." Not yet. He's fixing to. But he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. The difference that a day will make. The day of suffering and the day of sorrow had come. There's going to be a day of suffering and a day of sorrow that comes into our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about that there is a time for every season. There is a time to mourn and a time to weep. If you've never been there, you'll get there one day, friend. I don't think life's bad all the time, but I think it gets bad. But I'm glad there's somebody that helps me. I want you to look what happens. So Job didn't give in to Satan. Satan goes back to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" God said, "He's one that escheweth evil." And he said this here. He said, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him," in verse 3, "to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath, he'll give for his life." but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know, that's what Satan wanted Job to do, was to curse God. So Satan went forth and robbed him of his help. The Bible said in verse 7, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd, old broken pottery, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Now I want you to gather this in your mind. Job has lost everything. He's lost his servants. He's lost his animals. He's lost his livelihood. He has lost his health. He has been broke out with boils from the crown of his head unto the sole of his foot. And he's sitting in dust and ashes, and he's took old broken pottery and he's scraping himself. The only comfort he could get is them boils was a hurting him, was to scrape on them things and let them ooze. Difference a day, mate. What are you going to do when you get the telephone call from the doctor that test come back bad? What are you going to do when they tell you you got cancer? What are you going to do when they tell you that you're going to have open heart surgery? They don't know if you'll make it or not. What are you going to do? Hey, there's a difference that'll day will make. They got me in there and was running a test on me Thursday. I wasn't determined whether I was going to tell you all this, all of you, or not. And all that come back good. But the one thing that I most feared more than anything is that they wouldn't listen to what I had to tell them. And my sleep apnea is so bad. I very seldom sleep laying down. I wear what's called a BiPAP mask. It ain't a CPAP. And I try to wear that BiPAP mask. My wife will tell you, I wear it less than what I should, I guess. But one of the greatest fears that I had was that when I got back there that my throat would collapse on them while they had me back there with that scope down my throat looking at things. And sure enough, what I feared more than anything happened. They got me back there, and while I was back there, my throat collapsed on them. And listen, you talking about getting close to leaving out of here. Old Mark got close to leaving out of here. That nurse, I was still sedated after they brought me out. And in my stupidity, I asked her, she said, your oxygen got real low back there. And I said, how low did it get? That was stupid. I shouldn't ask that question. I didn't need to know the answer. She said, you got all the way down to 20%. She said, you turned a good shade of purple back there. I didn't need to know that. But I asked. She said, what happened is your throat collapsed in the middle of all of it. And said, we had to quit what we were doing. And he had to get a tube down you so that you could begin to breathe again. I'll be honest with you. I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. But that does mess with you just a little bit, friend. It'll mess with your mind. Now, I thank the Lord for what he done. I'm still standing here. Amen. But look at Job. Job's sitting there just scraping himself. And here comes his wife in the next verse. And she said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Won't you just curse God and die? What did the devil want him to do? Curse God. So why don't you just curse God and die? And he turned around and looked at her and said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. And the Bible said, in all that, what? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job has stood out by the cemetery, standing under the undertaker's tent. And he's committed 10 bodies back to the ground. We give Miss Job a hard time a lot of times, but she had to do the same thing that he done. 10 kids that she bore and had for him, she's had to commit back to the ground also. I'd say she is struggling with why God done what he done. I don't think Job understood why God done what he done, but he knew that God was still in control. Can I tell you, men, you may not understand why God does what he does. What did Job say? What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? I don't think that I could understand or even begin to grasp like Job did. I remember one time before I come down here to pastor, it had some bad times had came. And I remember people praying for us and helping us. And I can remember getting up and going to church on that Sunday morning. And I thought to myself, I know folk was praying for us, but nobody had really encouraged us. Nobody had really said anything to us, me and my wife. And I remember I thought to myself, boy, when my pastor lets me preach again, I'm going to preach on being an encouragement to people in bad times. And I remember Sunday morning after we left church and my wife was already in the car, and as I was walking down, she'd beat me there. She's a few steps ahead of me. And I remember little Miss Rachel. She probably wasn't 14 or 15 years old. She come running out of the church door and chased me down in the parking lot and said, Brother Mark, I just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you, and out of everything that's went on, I'm glad that you was here this morning. And just wanted to tell you that. I said, okay. My mind wasn't on a word of what she said. And I got down there, and we parked in the lower parking lot. And I remember I got in the car, and I sat down behind the steering wheel. And it's like the Lord just smacked me on top of the head. And said, there was the encouragement that you were looking for. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth, but I do know who's in charge of it. God had his hand and his eye upon Job the whole time. Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Job talks about in Job chapter 23, he says, I go forward and backward, left and right. I can't find him. I can't see him. But he said, when he hath what? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew that stuff. There's going to come a day that sorrow is going to show up. Can I tell you the best thing to do? Be found in the house of God, worshiping. You may not feel like it. I guarantee you that when 2 Samuel chapter 12, after Nathan came over there to David and said, thou art the man, and said, by the way, that baby's going to die for 7 days and 7 nights. David laid out there on the dirt, in the grass, and on the dew, and prayed that God would change his mind, and that baby died over there. And the Bible said that David perceived, as they began to whisper, that David perceived that the baby had died, and he asked them, and when he found out that he died, the Bible said that he got up, that he changed his clothes, he anointed himself, and he went to the house of God, and he worshiped the Lord. You think he felt like it? I doubt what he felt like. And the Bible said, then he went home and began to eat bread. Difference that they'll make. Don't let it change who you are. Don't let it change who you are in serving God. You say, how can I help that, preacher? Job chapter 42. By the way, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job, 42 months in the tribulation period. This was a tribulation time in Job's life. Job chapter 42. He's got right with God in verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Where'd Job start at? Started sitting out there in the dust and ashes. That's where he finished at. But I want you to look what happened. Job prays for his friends, verse 10. And the Lord heard the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You can go down through here and you can read what God done for Job. Verse 17, so Job died being old and full of days. There'll come a day when sorrow is going to come. There'll come a day when suffering is going to be there. But you know, there comes a day when it's all over with. There'll come a day when there is separation from this life. You say, well, I've watched people suffer up until the day that they died. That's true. Not everybody, I'll be honest with you, not everybody turns out like Job. Do you know that? Not everybody gets everything back at the end. Not everybody gets everything worked out. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, I have no doubt if Job had it to do over again, he might have still kept things the way that they were. Hey, Job had to carry all that in his mind and in his heart through that whole time. But you know, there comes a day of separation out of this world. Go to Luke 16, I'm going to close. There comes a day of separation. There comes a day of salvation, there comes a day of suffering, but then there comes a day of separation from here. Verse 19, and there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and now are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And again, I'll tell you, I understand the doctrinal, all the doctrinal issue dealing with paradise and hell. I understand all that about that separation right there. But I want you to understand that friend, that there was a day that came for Lazarus. Here sits a man that was poor. Here sits a man that the Bible said was full of sores. Kind of reminds you of Job. And here sits a man that did not have anything to eat. And the Bible said that the dogs came and licked his sores, and he sat outside the gate of the rich man, and he didn't want what the rich man had. He just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Well, see, there come a day when Lazarus died. You know, there's going to come a day when you die. Hebrews 9:27 has appointed unto men wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Death's going to get you. We all think death, even though we've went to the funeral homes, and even though death has come in our family, and even though we've stood in the receiving line on either side and dealt with death, we still think that it's out there somewhere for us. We never think that it's close. We never think that we could die today. We never think that it could just slip up on us. And guess, he said, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeared for a little time. I mean, you're here today and gone tomorrow. Just like the flower of the field, it buds today and grows today, and then it's cut down tomorrow. I mean, that's how life is. But there comes a separation. And so for the child of God, the Bible said right here that he was carried. How? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was brought, according to verse 25, and that to a place of comfort that he had never had before. I don't know what the day has for you now, but I know that if you're saved, that there's coming a day it's going to make it all right. There's coming a day. Hey, the difference a day will make. Listen, we all may find ourselves in the hospital suffering before we die. I think about my Aunt Grace, my great Aunt Grace. I preached her graveside just not too long ago. On Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Monday, Tuesday, somewhere like that. She was out in the yard. She's 93 years old. She was in the yard working her flowers. Fell that night after she come in, lived with her son and daughter-in-law. He checked on her. She said, "I'm okay." Said by morning time, something was wrong. He said, "I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning and said, I noticed her light was on in there. I go in there and she wasn't right. Something was exactly not right." He said, "So we called the ambulance, come got her, took her to the hospital. Got her down to the hospital and they said, no, the fall ain't done anything to her, but see, she's got double pneumonia." Now she was out the day before working in flowers. In less than a week, my Aunt Grace, 93 years old, slipped out of here and went. I was telling these kids over there in the young adults, Hunter. We'll call you young adults, not kids anymore. I was telling them about a friend of mine whose wife, she was in her early 30s, had a blood clot in her leg, run to her lung, killed her. Don't got to be old to die. The thing about it is you need to make sure that you've got that first day taken care of. If you've got that day of salvation, then the day of separation out of this world don't matter. Yeah, we're going to say goodbye. And yeah, we hate to say goodbye to family and loved ones. The thing about that is make sure they're saved and you'll see them on the other side. I mean, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the earth, the house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building eternal in the heavens, not made by hands. Hey, listen, we've got a home in heaven, friend, when that day comes. When the day of separation from this world takes place, be present with the Lord. You know, I preach a lot of times on what's going on in heaven, but it's awful tough to figure out what's going on up there. But I know that they're at a state of rest and a place with Jesus, and I know that they're with Him, and I have no doubt that they're praising Him. But when that day of separation comes for the lost, the Bible said what right here? It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. That was a bad day. Listen, the difference, listen to me now, the difference the day will make. Your worst day here will beat your best day in hell. Your worst... Hey, listen, I mean, I don't know if this story's true, but they said it, and if they lied, I guess I'm going to lie, but I could see it to be true. There was an old boy that was... He wasn't much of a man. He was a drunkard. And he was running around. One night, he came in about 3 o'clock in the morning. Him and his buddies did, and he went in the bedroom, woke his wife up, kicked on the bedpost, and said, "Get up, go in there and fix us something to eat." And she just got up out of the bed and went right in there and fixed him something to eat. Fixed him something to eat. And somebody asked her the question, why did you do that without grumbling and complaining? Why did you do that when he's mean to you and ugly to you? Why did you do that? I wouldn't have done that. I'd have told him to go fix it himself. And she said, "But you don't understand." Said if he don't get saved, said, "I'm trying to give him all the good days here that he can get. Because if he dies lost in his condition, he'll have no more good days. You slip off out of here. Listen, hell be your home if you ain't saved." The rich man didn't know the Lord. He didn't consider the Lord. He had everything that he wanted here except the one thing that he needed, and that was Christ in his life. And that may be you today, friend. You've got everything that you think you need except Christ in your life. So he ends up in a place the Bible said, was full of torments. It was plural. It was full of fire. It was a place where he could not be comforted. Remember what he came over there to Father Abraham and said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And he said, remember what he said right here? That thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou tormented. He's in a place that lacks mercy. He's in a place where he can remember what he should have done before he went. The difference the day made of separation in this rich man's life. You know what makes all the difference? You get that first day right, that first day of salvation, then that day of suffering and sorrow. It may be suffering and sorrow, but you'll have somebody to go through it with you. And that day of separation, you have no fear and no worry. But if you die without God, if you die without Jesus being your Savior, you'll go to hell. It'll be a bad day that you'll never get over and spend eternity. Now, difference that a day will make. Let's bow our hands this morning, if we would, across the house. Let's come to this verse of invitation, Brother Jeff, if you would. Maybe you've never been saved. Listen to me now. Maybe you've never been saved. I want you to come. If God spoke to your heart. Never had a difference. Like the jailer. Never had a difference. He can make a difference in your heart. You may be in that place right now of like Job, of suffering. Job, that suffering and sorrow went on with Job for a long time, friend. But God was with him. He may not have been able to see him too much. God was with him. Well, let me ask you something. In that day of separation, when you slip off out of here and you draw your last breath, and your heart beats that one last time, and your life comes to an end, where are you going to go? Where are you going to spend eternity? How about it? Never head bowed, never eye closed. If you need to move, we're going to sing in a minute. But if you need to move right now, would you slip out of that pew and come? Would you slip out of that pew and come up here? So, preacher, I don't need to come and get saved. I'm just struggling. Come, listen, if you're struggling with sorrow and suffering, come on, let God help your heart. Don't keep going through suffering and sorrow. Let God do something for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I preach what I believe you gave me. I pray that you'd help somebody sitting here this morning. They may have never experienced that day of salvation. May have never been saved. And what a great day that difference will make in them. I pray they'd come and get saved. There may be somebody, Lord, that's suffering going through sorrow that we may or may not know about. I pray they'd come. Lord, if they need to come, seek you and find help, I pray they'd move. Lord, there's going to come a day that we're going to slip out of here. I pray these folk know that they've got you in their heart. Because, Lord, if they die lost, it's a place of torment. A place that can never be escaped out of. Going to be there for eternity. If somebody needs to move, I pray they'd move this morning. These things in Jesus' name do I ask and do pray. Amen.